The question today is, what is meant by the Beatitudes? Of course, the Beatitudes are referred to in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is part three, by the way, of this series on this question. And it's, Jesus mentioned nine times, he said, blessed, blessed, blessed. And that means spiritually prosperous or happy is the man, supremely blessed, or really, in other words, highly favored is what the word really means. And therefore, we call them the Beatitudes or attitudes that ought to be. And he's talking to the majority of the people who were lost, the multitudes who were there, followers of Jesus, but yet they wasn't saved. And he's saying, this is the work you need done in your heart. And the first Beatitude was, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And the promise is, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a work of God's Holy Ghost to bring you to the end of yourself. And let you realize you're separated from God and lost. And then he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And of course, that's mourning is crying as godly sorrow working, which is the emotional part of Holy Ghost conviction. But it's working in your heart and bringing you to a place to where you cry out. And your promise is you shall be comforted. Now, these are conditional promises for the lost people. If you continue in his word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The third beatitude, or attitudes that ought to be, was that of being meek. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And of course, we said the meek's those who have a teachable spirit. In other words, meekness is an inwrought grace of the soul, and exercise thereof must be first toward the Lord. Just as the Lord, the first attitude, beatitude, is toward self, the second attitude is toward sin, and this third attitude is toward the Lord. Blessed is the man who is meek, because he knows the same Holy Spirit that brought him this far will carry him on. That's why he said in Philippians 1:6, can be used for doctrine, and because and he that had begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Christ. He begun a good work in you a long time before you was ever saved. And as a result, you can claim that promise. It's a conditional promise. If you will continue, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And these Beatitudes ought to be in us, and you've got these promises. You'll inherit the earth, and that'll be in the reality in the millennium reign, but of course you'll be with him forevermore. Now, the fourth Beatitude, or attitudes that ought to be, is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, where it said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, then, hunger and thirst are words we understand in the physical, but they mean to have a strong desire. That's where they mean that in the physical, where they mean to have a strong desire or craving for food and water. But spiritually, it refers to having a strong desire or craving for righteousness. Now, in the Greek there, righteousness is preceded by the definite article, the. Thus, it refers to the righteousness, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, he is made unto us righteousness there, as well as all these other things mentioned in that verse. This means a lost person needs to hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus. Now, later on in this message, Jesus states in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you remember, he was speaking not only to his disciples, as far as the saved disciples, but to the multitudes who were called his disciples, who followed after him, the majority of whom were lost. Now, the first thing you will say is a lost man doesn't seek God. And when I talk about Matthew 6:33, but and that's true. It's true. Romans 3:11 says, none seeketh after God. But it's also true that Jesus said to seek in Matthew 6:33. Now, in Luke 13:24, Jesus said there, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. In other words, he's not talking about works for salvation, as I've said before. But you see, he said, some will seek, but they didn't strive. They wasn't willing to strive enough to overcome the obstacles that the flesh, the world, and the devil put in their way. And so, therefore, there's not a contradiction here. You realize something. We must rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to rightly divide the word and understand that man does not seek until he's awakened and stirred by the Holy Spirit, and then he seeks. But he needs to do more than just seek. He must hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that can only be accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit as he convinces of righteousness, the righteousness, in other words, who is Jesus, in his work of Holy Ghost conviction, call reproval in John 16, 8 and 10. Because you see in John 16, 8, he said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. And verse 10 said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and it takes the Holy Spirit to convince you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the righteousness of God. Now you notice Matthew 5, 6 says, those that are blessed, those are blessed that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, that verb refers to continuous action, present time, not in past time. So Jesus was speaking to the lost here. If you practice this, now the result or outcome of such hungering and thirsting is that they shall be filled. In other words, fill means to satisfy or to supply in abundance. This means that one who hungers and thirsts by the aid of the Holy Spirit will be supplied in abundance the righteousness of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've already showed you that. John 1, 4 says this. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's in him. And it said it shall be. They shall be filled. That indicates a promise. Not might be, but shall be. Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 3 said, for I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. If you're thirsty, there's a promise of God. He'll pour water upon you. Isaiah 55, 1, he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Revelations 22, 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, and the only way you'll be made willing is in the day of his power. Psalms 110, verse 3. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So you see, when a person is filled, he's saved because he has righteousness, which is the righteousness that's the Lord Jesus, which is a byproduct of forgiveness. 1 John 5, 12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So this fourth beatitude, or attitude that ought to be, is an attitude toward the Lord. Blessed is the man who experiences this attitude because he's saved, and he will be saved, or is saved when he comes through it, when he experiences it, and he's satisfied. Also, he knows that the Lord has more in store for him than just being saved. In other words, and that the same Spirit that brought him this far will carry him on. And this is where Philippians 1, 6 is the promise becomes unconditional. After you're saved, you're justified, then I want to tell you, the Lord's going to sanctify you. He's going to glorify you. He's going to conform you to the image of his dear Son. Therefore, Philippians 1, 6 is definitely so. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Well, the fifth attitude, the beatitude or attitudes that ought to be, is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this attitude, in other words, towards others, this should be there as a result of being saved. The merciful are those who show mercy to others. I will tell you, one cannot extend mercy towards someone else until he has experienced mercy. Mercy means kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. It manifests itself toward others with compassion, chiefly in acts instead of just words. Some people say, well, bless you, but it's good to say things, but this will manifest itself in acts. Now, a person who has reached the fourth beatitude has experienced mercy. He's been saved. The Lord held back wrath that hung over every sinner as the Holy Ghost worked his work and brought him to recognize that he was poor in spirit, and it produced mourning, meekness, and a hunger and a thirst for the Lord. John 3:36, he said there, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 2:4, he said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So, you see, that's mercy. That's mercy because God's brought you to that place. Now, since we've experienced the mercy of the Lord, we can show mercy to others, and that brings a state of being blessed. In other words, the result of this is threefold. There's an inward benefit, that's personal satisfaction for helping others. In other words, he that hath, Proverbs 14:21 said, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. But it's also an outward benefit. We shall obtain mercy from the hands of our fellow man, and that's the result of the law of sowing and reaping, and the providence of God which causes others to deal with you mercifully. In fact, sowing and reaping, the law is Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, where it speaks about the fact that we, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now the third result of this is an upward benefit. We shall obtain mercy from the Lord. Even after one is saved, he still needs mercy daily from the Lord. His mercies fail not. In fact, they're new each morning. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And his mercies are available to us because he understands us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 said, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Blessed is the man who reaches the fifth attitude, because he's saved and able to show compassion to others, just as he received compassion from the Lord. Also he knows that the same Spirit that brought him this far will carry him on. Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Christ. Blessed, extremely blessed, prosperous, spiritually prosperous. That's what the man is that has these beatitudes, or attitudes that ought to be. Well, I'll mention just briefly the sixth beatitude, or attitudes that ought to be, is in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Our time will be running out, and I'll get back to it in part number 4. But here, this is part 3 today. But Matthew 5, 8, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, the phrase pure in heart means to be clean from the corruption and guilt of sin before God. And in other words, this doesn't refer to the sinless perfection, because the saved will not be perfect until we're absent from this flesh, which will happen at the rapture. So therefore, that's the attitudes, beatitudes, or attitudes that ought to be. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.